I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Good evening and welcome to Charlton Live. This is the Big Match Preview coming to you live here from the Valley on your Thursday evening. My name is Louis Mendes. Joining me in the studio here at the Valley to get ready to gear up to Saturday's massive home game with Portsmouth is Mr. Tom Welling. How are you doing, Tom? You looking well?
I'm all right, yeah.
You had a good few days?
Yeah.
Yeah?
It's pretty standard, really.
You're not an unnamed banker by any chance, are you?
Some people might call me that sometimes, but no. The bid is not mine.
Yeah, and joining the pair of us here at the Valley, looking like a young Harry Redknapp in his suit there, is Nathan Millay. Doing that?
Yeah, I'm good, thanks, Louis.
Have you had a good few days?
Yeah, I met Navi, my brother. It was good.
Yeah, just met Navi, so I'll sit down, Nathan.
It's not a radio feature, is it?
Yeah. I said to Lou that I was going to do
Yeah, we've got new microphones that are actually on, like, leads, and you can get up and walk around, and Nathan thought it'd be funny to start doing that there.
Which I was at Butlins.
Yeah, there we go, like a stand-up comedian. Which he isn't one, he just looks like one. So on tonight's show, we are going to gear up for Saturday's home game with Portsmouth here, but we've got loads of great content for you coming up. We're going to discuss today's takeover rumours in the Evening Standard. Apparently an unnamed banker, and it's going to be very careful saying that for the rest of the show, has put in a £30 million bid for the club. We're going to hear what Lee Bowyer has to say about the apparent offer of a new contract. We'll hear what he said on that. We'll discuss some of the stuff that came out in the fans forum meeting during the week. Then, about 20 past, we've got an exclusive interview for you, Patrick Bauer, the defender. And I think this is the first time he's been interviewed since those tweets at the start of the campaign where he implied that he was not going to sign a new contract. And of course, I asked him about that, so we'll hear what he had to say. Tracy Leeburn's going to tell us about Red, White and Black Day on Saturday. We're going to hear from Josh Cullen after the Doncaster game, and as well as looking ahead to Portsmouth. Then we will gear up properly for the top six clash with Pompey. We've got Luke Ellis, who's a Pompey fan, who joined us on the phone yesterday, and of course we'll hear again from the Addicts boss Lee Bowyer, who'll give us all the latest on the injury front. So plenty to get our teeth stuck into, Tom, but first of all, exclusive from Simon Johnson in the Evening Standard this afternoon, Charlton have received a fresh offer worth £30 million for the club. Standard Sports understands the man behind the bid is a former banker who has experience of top level football, has held meetings with the League One club and is waiting to hear whether the offer will be accepted. Oh, is it happening, Tom? Is this the one, or is it just another false dawn?
I hope it's the one. Be nice, but we've been here so many times before, I'm not going to get my hopes up. I said last week when all the craziness happened that I felt like it was going to come to a head, and either he was going to accept and sell or we were in real trouble and we were going to be stuck with him for a while. And I think then things could have got very, very dark. But if this offer legitimately has come in, and it sounds very much like it has, it's then a question of what was his asking price and is that enough? Because there's been these figures of 60, 70 million bandied around. There's a rumour of a 35 million decline, but there's lots of more official statements that seem to suggest that those are just figures that people have plucked out of the air. So to me, 30 million is a ridiculous bid for us. We're not worth that, in my opinion. But if that's enough to get Roland on the table, then hopefully it could be the start of something. But like I say, I'm trying not to get too carried away because we've been here so many times.
It's unusual though, Nathan, for this to have come out in the way it has. I mean, because the Standard piece has a source quote, says the ball is very much in Charlton's court and we will see how serious they are about selling. I mean, there's plenty of details in this story that suggests, you'd imagine, that the story has come somewhere within the bidding party, just reading it. That's what it seems to suggest to me, or maybe even a broker of some sort. So for someone involved in the deal in that way to start spilling the beans like this. It's unusual, but I mean, do you think it's a move to try and put Du Châtelet under a little bit of pressure? Because he has said he wants to sell the club, but obviously, I mean, as well as offering it to the EFL for free without the stadium.
That went well, didn't it?
Yeah, we'll talk about that. And then other quotes of 60, 70 million floating around. No one really knows exactly what's going on there. So for this to be out there, do you think that's going to put him under a little bit of pressure to prove if he really is a willing seller? Or does he just sit there for going, I don't really care what anyone thinks or says? Because that's what he usually does.
Yeah, probably a bit of both. I think everyone knew that he wanted to sell. But in the revelations that happened over the last couple of weeks that Tom just said about, you know, offering it, it does smack of desperation a little bit, and maybe there is a buyer out there who's maybe trying to get it on a little bit on the cheap, which it's clear that Roland doesn't want to be here, but like Tom said, hopefully it comes to fruition, but hopefully it will put him under a little bit of pressure. I can see it will, because if it's an offer that it's acceptable to Roland, then he's going to bite the hand off. He doesn't want to be. He said that.
That's my thing. If he really wants to sell, I don't know what more he can hold out for. What, there's no one really is going to come in with a bit bigger than that, as far as I can see. I mean, there might be someone out there, but he's going to struggle to get more than that. Mm. So if this is a decent bid, then it's worth listening to, particularly as it sounds like it comes with like the training ground and everything, which is what he wanted anyway. So.
We have been here before, Nath, so is there anything you've seen from this? I mean, the only question is, if all of these outbursts over the last few weeks have suggested, and I'll put something similar on Twitter now, I mean, this could all be over, Roland. I mean, you're fuming, you're angry. You know, it made me angry last week, and I don't like being angry. You know, this could all be over in, like, a week if you just sign your name on a bit of paper.
Yeah, that's an ideal world, isn't it? But I don't know if it's going to happen that quick. I'd love it to, but I'm on the sort of bandwagon that, you know, I'm just going to wait and hopefully it goes through. But I'm not going to get too excited. But like you say, if he's desperate to sell, then, because I mean, there's so much work to do, just in contracts and other stuff. There's so much work to do that can be attractive to any sort of investor, but it does boil down to the club's only worth is what someone's willing to pay, isn't it? So hopefully this Mr. or Mrs. Unknown, it does bring Roland to the table and starts making him talk. Not sense, but you know, makes him talk, and the ball gets rolling. But like you say, we've had it with Zabil, we've had it with the Australians, we've had it with Tom, Dick and Harry, but you know, hopefully this is the one, but I'm not going to get two.
I didn't know you were in a consortium with Dick and Harry, Tom. Sorry, I missed that one, yeah. Why didn't you just go out and buy the club? Come on, ruining it.
Didn't work out.
Yeah. Right, a couple of tweets came in on this subject. I mean, Michael Broad said, fingers crossed, it sounds like a very good offer, Roland. Take it and you will no longer get the hassle. Jimmy Seed saying, only difference with this rumour is that it's been leaked to a newspaper. I can't see him accepting 30 million, unfortunately. I mean, it was reported in the Daily Mail last week that he turned down a bid of over 30 million, and I'd heard 35, but like I say, you never know who's correct with that. John Skinner saying, I'm afraid that Jimmy's right. Du Châtelet expects others to pay for his mistakes. Any normal person would snatch the buyer's arm off. Sadly, Du Châtelet isn't normal. BH says, we've spoken about the Aussies for months and nothing's happened there either. If I was Roland, I'd take the 30 million and put this to bed. He is the one who messed up. I mean, yeah, I mean, everyone's sort of hoping that will be the case, I think. I mean, even George Burkett, though, is possibly more with his feet on the ground, saying, not going to get too excited about this ex-banker bid just yet. I don't want to get my hopes up just for them to be inevitably crushed when he rejects it. Any sensible man would take the 30 million, but we're not dealing with a sensible man. And I think that's probably the fair thing to say. I mean, Mark saying, let's hope that the rodent is about to finally depart. Shall we have a $1 wager, hoping that you guys have some more info for us all? Not really. I mean, it's the Evening Standard's exclusive story. We can't really add much more on that other than the fact that we've been here before. Who knows? It's interesting the way it's been leaked to someone else. I mean, obviously, it's been a big week again. Not quite as exciting as last week in terms of Roland's rants, but I mean, there was another fans forum meeting on Monday, and there are a few things that came out of it of interest. The main one being that apparently Thomas Dryerson's still involved with the club. I mean, that was one of the more remarkable aspects of the Addicts. I'd say his name first. I mean, he'd been at the club pretty much the whole time that Roland has. I remember seeing him in an away game. I think it was at Millwall. I saw him a few years ago. Obviously, I managed to interview Matt Wright. Sort of did a big piece about who he was in the Voice of the Valley and how he'd clashed with all these people. There was interesting stuff on the Getting to Know the Network podcast where we learned how he was. You know, some of the managers, even Roland's managers, didn't like having to deal with him. Then I managed to track him down actually for an interview, and I mean that raised all sorts of eyebrows as well. But we hadn't really heard his name, and I was looking through. I was trying to work out last time I spoke to him, and he did mention that it was a couple of years ago. But he said he didn't really deal too much with Charlton anymore. But now it's come out in the fans forum meeting that Steve Gallen says that he still has to get all of his players approved by Thomas Dryson. I mean, that's a strange set of circumstances when you compare the footballing experience of the two men involved there.
Yeah, it's mad. And what's also weird is that you look at the quality of the signings now compared to the quality of the signings at the start as well. You think, well, clearly, even if he's still involved, the relationship is very different. How Dryson reports into Roland and what he says to him, I don't know. But it sounds very much like Steve and Lee and Jacko have the power, even if they do have to run things past him. And whether Dryson is then going to Roland and claiming he found them or putting his share in or whatever it is, I don't really care, to be honest. I'd rather he wasn't here. But if he is, so long as the people in charge here, you know, the likes of Steve, who we have to give so much credit to for the signings this season, so long as they're allowed to do their work and Dryson isn't getting in the way, then I don't know what he's doing and I don't know why he's there. But if he is there, so long as he's not causing trouble, then let him sit in his room and play Football Manager all he wants. But,
yeah, I mean, Steve Gallen did say that he's got a good relationship with Dryson. He said it's not unusual for clubs or owners of clubs to have advisors. But he said part of his role is to sell a player to Thomas Dryson. He said he doesn't always agree with him, like he doesn't always agree with Lee Bowyer, but he respects the way he works. He said they've discussed the situation, Gallen and Lee Bowyer, and you either fight it and probably lose, as in go to Roland and say, what are we doing with this idiot? Or you just get go in with it and hopefully win. And generally, he said, looking at the players coming in, and Christian Billick and Josh Cullen, they're good players. So I think it's not the end of the world, but obviously it's another thing that's just a bit weird and it doesn't really make much sense to anyone.
No, it doesn't. And I mean, I don't know if Thomas Dryson has got any sort of qualification in terms of football scouting, because there are courses.
He was never able to answer that when I asked him back in the day. He was never able to answer what his experience or qualifications were.
They're not expensive. They're not expensive. So I assume he probably is. But the weird thing for me is that you've got Steve Gallen, who is a well-respected coach and can spot talent, has done it for many years. He's then having to sell a player or trying to persuade Thomas Dryson that this player is good enough to play at this level, where Thomas Dryson, as far as I'm aware, has no experience
of authority.
Who, I mean, it just doesn't make sense. It's like me working and then my financial director doesn't know anything about finance.
I don't understand why he has to go to Dryson. At what point is Steve Gallen going to recommend a player that Dryson says to Roland, no, we don't want him? Like, what authority has he got, or what knowledge does he have of a player where Steve Gallen's going to say, look, he does this, this, this and this, he's perfect for us, and Thomas Dryson goes, yeah, but have you seen his boots or something? Like, he's got nothing extra he can offer, so I just don't understand
It's a weird trust thing, isn't it? I mean, like I say, it's just another thing that's now it's come out. I mean, people are saying, why is Gallen mentioning this? I mean, he might just be mentioning it just because he was asked, but some people are saying, oh, maybe he's mentioning it just a little bit, just to point out this is the sort of stuff we're dealing with. But
that's
he's very professional, Steve Gallen, from what I understand, and so it might not be the case. It's just a weird one, We'll add it onto the big pile of weird that we have here, Charlton. Another thing that we can pluck from that pile of weirdness. As we were talking about last week, Roland de Châtelet demanded that the EFL take the club off his hands. That was responded to this week. The EFL had one of their meetings where they had to had to look at the pile of stuff that came out of that. They had to deal with us, they had to deal with Blackpool, they had to deal with Bolton, who at one point it looked like they wouldn't even be able to get a game ahead on Saturday. They have to do with Coventry, who they were given a time when they had to confirm where they'd be playing next season. Basically, they turned around and went, dunno, and EFL went, all right, okay, we'll do it sort out another time. But yeah, one of ours was they had to respond to Roland's demand that the EFL take over control of the club. The EFL... I'm a little bit taken aback by this because they've decided it's a no-go. It's not going to happen. They've said as a competition organiser at the EFL regulates against your interest and... Having assessed the situation, I wonder how long that took, to take control of Charlton Athletic, put forward by the club's owner, Roland Duchatelet, the EFL board has concluded that such an arrangement would raise significant conflict of interest and as such is not one that could be considered. I mean, Nathan, what
it is. We'll agree to disagree on that one, won't we? But I mean, I can't see anything being wrong with it. I think it would have been a nice little venture for them. I think they've missed out. But no, seriously, it's no one's surprised really. But it's just funny how they said that they assessed the situation. I don't think you did. I think you probably just went no. But it doesn't really surprise me. But it's funny how they responded. They have to, didn't they? I suppose.
Yeah, I guess there's not really. I mean, it'd be interesting to see how I would love for Roland to respond to the response. Like, because I mean,
it does
strike me as the sort of man who tends to get his way, and once he's demanded that someone does something. It seems unusual that a demand is not sort of agreed to. So it'd be interesting to see. I mean, if you were Roland, Tom, and it sounds like you, Dick and Harry, very nearly were, what would your response be to that?
I'd go back and I'd be, are you sure? just email back. Are you sure?
Yeah. Right, we had a tweet in from Vital Charlton, and that leads us nicely on to the next little bit we're going to talk about. He said, I was in the press conference today, and it was great to hear Boya and Jacko's contracts are getting done. We really need them to next, whether we go up or not. So as Vital Charlton mentions there, he was in the press conference today. Lee Boya was asked about his future with the contracts, and this is what he had to say.
I know from myself that someone that works for the owner approached me on Monday, I think, and said that they would like to offer me a new contract. I said, great, and he said they'd come back to me, so that's where we are with that. Johnny, I don't know what's happening, Johnny.
So there we go. So no real update on Johnny Jackson's contract as well, which is also running out of the end of the season. But it's good to see, in a way, that Boya's been half approached with a contract offer, presumably by Liv and Duturk, because there's no one else who works for the owner here. Yeah. So on paper, possibly getting offered a contract at some point, which in a way, I mean, it sounds like he'd be happy to sign on, which is the most important thing.
Yeah, it sounds like he is, and I think it will prove a little bit more stability, especially for players like Joe, and Anthony, and the players getting offered contracts, because obviously they like working with Bose, and I think we do get some players here that we probably wouldn't usually get because of the pool that Bose has. So I think it is a good thing. Credit where credit's due, is a bit overdue. Be interesting if it's more than 6 months or something, though, wouldn't it? Or a caretaker role or something.
4 weeks.
Yeah, 4 weeks contract. For a 0-hour contract or something. But minimum £11 an hour. But no, yeah, I think it's a good thing. And hopefully it does get sorted along with Jacko. Because you can see what they've done since, not even this season, when they took over, when we were, 13th, 14th or something. So, yeah, hopefully it gets done.
Just a bit of a weird situation, really, Tom, that we're here. You know, with a manager who's doing so well, so near to the end of his contract in footballing terms, and it hasn't been sorted beforehand. But I guess, you know, I've talked about the pile of wood we've got here. Yeah, it's another one somewhere in the middle, really, isn't it?
Yeah, and I think what's a bit odd is, like I said last week again, it all seems to be coming to a head. And he obviously, the graffiti happened, he blew up on TalkSport, there was this weird offer, there was the fans forum. And then suddenly, from Groundhog Day, where no contracts have been offered to the management staff, the issue with players being signed, the issue with players' contracts, the issue with takeover bids. Suddenly, in the space of a week, we've seen Bose get offered. We've seen, apparently, we would hope Jacko get offered. That might spark, as Nath just said, players being offered and the likes of Aribo thinking, do you know what, I'll fancy another year under this manager. And we've had this rumoured takeover. And it seems like, I said that could be a trigger point, and it does feel like that. Obviously, it's very early still to get carried away, and there's still a long way for this season to go yet in terms of where we actually finish. But it's always darkest before the dawn, isn't it? And it feels like I said, it's going to be a turning point, and it's going to go one way or the other. Another week goes past. Boya might turn down the offer because it's a zero-hour contract. Aribo says he's off, and the takeover pulls out, and we've got Roland. But I just feel like it's not going to stay status quo as it has for, what, the last 6 months, a year. I feel like something is happening. I'm just not entirely sure which way it's going to go yet.
Yeah, well, I'm sure we'll find out the hard way over the next few weeks. Roger Trask says, knowing our luck, the unnamed banker will be Nick Leeson. I had to Google that, but according to Wikipedia, Nick Leeson is a former English broker famous for bringing down Barring Banks, the world's oldest merchant bank, into bankruptcy. Yeah, hopefully that'll be him then. Right, let's have a quick break here on Charlton Live. Still got plenty to come. We've got our exclusive interview with Patrick Bauer up next.
What were we saying? Simon, what were we
Terry
saying?
Smith alongside me said he should line up for these opportunities.
Well, you know, maybe Sark can hit them.
Josh Cullen is the other option. It's about
so is that four
look, yards
10
away.
Yards back for you?
4 yards from the edge of the pounds here. And Abisar to take.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads, generally for most people, are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
So, over it. Over it is.
Abisar!
Oh, yes!
We've been looking for a free-kick hero, and it comes in the way of Naby Sarr. Everyone's going to claim they said it, but the Charlton man, the centre-half, with a great free-kick, the goalkeeper was stood and couldn't do anything about it, and Charlton have the equaliser.
Right, welcome back to Charlton Live here on Maritime Radio. The big match preview, we're gearing up for Saturday's massive home game with Portsmouth. Two teams within the top six of League One. Really looking forward to it. Don't forget, 5:30 kickoff on Saturday. The game's on Sky, so don't turn up here early. If you're anything like me, it's going to ruin your day because I have a really set routine for like Valley Caf at midday, in the ground by one. I know what I'm doing. 5:30, I'm going to be all over the place. So don't be surprised if I just forget to come, to be fair. Which will ruin Sunday show because I won't know what happened unless I watch it on TV. But anyway, right, one player who will be involved on Saturday, I dare say, is Patrick Bauer. Now, himself and Naby Sarr took the unusual step of going and standing outside Charlton Station for an hour this evening, on Thursday evening, as a meet and greet for fans. They're advertising, of course, Saturday's home game with Portsmouth. Also here on Wednesday, there's a home game for the Charlton Athletic women's team against Millwall, which they're helping to advertise. And don't forget, the men's team are on home on Tuesday as well against Burton Albion. So three games in the Valley in the space of a week here, that all of which we're looking forward to. Now, Paddy Bauer, of course, been very good this season. Easy to forget that he was linked with that move to Blackburn before the season started. Stayed here in the summer transfer window, but then there were some tweets from his account saying that he would not sign a new contract at the end of the season. So obviously I asked him about that, but first of all I asked him, looking ahead, how excited he is for Saturday's home game with Portsmouth.
Yeah, definitely. There are one spot in front of us. There are a few points in front of us. And we can close the gap with a win on Saturday. And that's what we're trying to do.
And obviously we can take confidence from the fact that when we played them just before Christmas, we got a very good result down there.
Yes, the last couple of years, always when we went to their place, we had good results this year as well. And we know what we are waiting, and we want to win the game on Saturday.
and it's a nice event for you to come out and to meet the Charlton fans at the stations. They're a bit unusual, but you enjoying meeting the Addicts fans?
Yeah, definitely. It's unusual to come out here on a Thursday to the train station, but yeah, it's nice to advertise for Saturday's game for the CFC women, and yeah, that's what we are doing here.
And obviously, you've come down today as well with Big Nabby. I mean, you formed one hell of a partnership with him over the last few weeks. What's he been like to play with over the last few games?
Yeah, obviously he's very strong. He's good on the ball. He's a beast, and I really enjoy to play with him.
And it looks like you've got quite a good partnership going, because we're not conceding that many goals at the moment, and that obviously gives us such a good base to go in and try and get results from.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, we are working hard in training to be organised in defence, and yeah, that's what we are trying to do. We always try to keep a clean sheet. Sometimes we succeed, sometimes we don't, but yeah, hopefully we can get this good work going.
How are you feeling with the season as a whole so far? Because I guess we had a slight wobble perhaps over the last few weeks, but now we've got two good results in a row again, and looking quite comfortable in those playoff places. I mean, the squad must be feeling pretty buoyant at the moment.
Yeah, I mean, the top two is now a little bit far away, but we try to win each game, and maybe from the top two they will drop points, and if they do it, maybe we will be there to jump on. But yeah, we are doing well as a team. We want to secure the spot in the playoffs at least, and yeah, for that we try to win as many games as possible.
And from your own point of view, you're one of many players who's coming to the end of their contract at the end of this season. Obviously, earlier on in the campaign you were linked with that move away, and you sort of implied at the time that you weren't willing to sign a new contract. Has anything changed over the course of the year after another decent season here?
Yeah, like you said, my contract is expiring after this season, and I just try to give my best for Charlton. And yeah, at the end of the season, we will see what will happen.
I guess promotion to the Championship might make that decision a little bit easier.
Let's see. Let's get first the promotion, and after we will talk.
So not giving too much away on the contract situation, but I mean, even if we do get promoted, it sounds like he's not, you know, definitely going to stay by any stretch of the imagination.
Yeah, and I think he's been thinking that for some time. He's definitely good enough for the Championship, I think. Obviously I would like him to stay. I think he's been integral to us this season, but I don't know if he's ever really had that affinity with the club that you perhaps need if you're gonna commit your future, particularly whilst we don't know particularly what league we're gonna be in. I know the fans obviously have the relationship and call him the BFG and all of that, but I don't know, something doesn't quite sit right with him, I don't think, or maybe he's just a professional player. He takes his clubs as he finds them, and he's happy to play here. But if a better offer comes along, he's going to head off. And maybe it's just that. As I say, I'd love him to stay. I'd like to think that, especially if we go up, we would offer him a contract. And if he decides not to take that and to push himself and to try something new, then fair enough. But so long as he continues to give his all for the rest of this season, that's all we can ask for at the moment. And as he said in the interview there, they have formed a good partnership, him and Nabs, and he's playing very well.
Yeah, Nath, you went down to the Charlton train station to meet the pair of them. I think you were very excited to see Big Nabs, the beast, as Patrick Bauer was calling in there.
Yeah, I was. I've obviously not had the privilege of meeting Big Nabs.
Separated at birth, weren't you?
Yeah, we were separated at birth, but that's another story for another show. But no, literally, I tell you what, though, I don't think you really, well, I didn't realise how tall both of them are. Yeah. When you see him in the stand, you know they're big lads, they're centre-halves, but he is a beast, and they're like Paddy's no like small fella, you know what I mean? They're both massive. I mean, forwards must dread coming against them two. Mm. They must do, because like Paddy said, Nabs is strong. Obviously, he's got a great techers as well. But he's doing really well. I'm delighted for Nabs, because I think we've all said many times that he's had a bit of a struggle and he seemed to come with it through the other side.
Right, also on Saturday here at the Valley is the annual celebration of Red, White and Black Day, the day where the club comes together to celebrate the diversity within the community. Tracy Leeburn, the club's player liaison officer, was also down shivering at the train station earlier. It was raining as well while they had to do that. It really didn't look like much fun. So I asked her what they've got planned for this Saturday.
Oh, it's we're all really excited. So we're having a parade along the pitch. We've got T-shirts made, obviously explaining what the day's about. We have every strand of the Charlton family attending. So we have disability groups, the deaf team, we have the Invicta team. We've got everyone coming to obviously support the day.
And obviously Charlton as a club is something, you know, at the forefront of this sort of stuff back in the day, and it's something that they've kept going over all these years because it's important to the club and to the community, I guess.
Of course, it's been going over 25 years now. It's so important, equality and diversity, and obviously involving children to educate them as well. We've got three schools coming on the day. We've got the Caribbean team coming, so it's everybody that's, you know, really to help them understand what this day is about.
And with the parade on Saturday, who will be leading that?
I'm leading the parade is obviously my husband, Carl Leban, Paul Mortimer, Jason Pearce, and also the Mayor of Greenwich, and three poetry winners.
And obviously, you mentioned your husband, Carl, there. He was playing football in English football in the 90s. So, I mean, going back, he would have seen those problems firsthand. And even now, I guess, we've seen incidents at Arsenal with the banana being thrown and what Raheem Sterling's had to suffer so far this season. It shows it's not completely out of the game yet.
No, definitely not. I mean, even recently with Lyle Taylor at a game, you know, it's prevalent still in this day and age, and it needs to stop. And if we can help, including Carl, you know, we have two children together, obviously they have mixed parent heritage, so, you know, this is for all of our children's futures that we need to keep up the fight against racism. She loves looking at us all, and she don't need no one else. She just wanna get that shot, if I'm in or if I'm not. She doesn't care, she's in love with a cat. And Williams exchange passes. Williams drifts past his man, born in the box. It's an awkward one. Taylor controls. Taylor trying to pass it back to Prattley, who strikes!
Oh, my word! Taylor Prattley! What a strike from the Charlton midfielder on the edge of the box. Touchdown by Lyle Taylor. And Darren Prattley unleashes a hell of a strike past Arnold down to his left. Could do nothing about that one.
Welcome back. It's Charlton Live here on Maritime Radio. This is the big match preview, gearing up for a massive game at home to Portsmouth on Saturday. As Tracy mentioned, their red, white and black day. One to look forward to. She mentioned something that happened to Lyle Taylor. It was a message that came to him on Instagram after the Wimbledon game. It was a horrible racist message, but it does show that it was bizarre because it's from a Wimbledon fan who the previous message he sent to Lyle was, "Oh, I love you, come back to Wimbledon." And then he sent him a disgusting racist message. So, yeah. Still rife in football. I mean, we had that story in Sky Sports about incidents that happened at Charlton throughout the year as well. Throughout the years, not recently, but throughout the years. So that's why it's important that Red, White and Black Day is still celebrated and that sort of stuff discussed here by the Community Trust and by the club as well. Right, last Saturday, 1-1 draw at Doncaster. Good result. And Josh Cullen now, he was the man who is trying to claim the goal, it turns out. We spoke to him after the game. This is what he had to say, looking back at that draw with Doncaster and, of course, looking ahead to Saturday's home game with Portsmouth.
Yeah, I think you always are when you take the lead. Obviously, you want to hang on and you work hard to get in a position to be winning the game. And it's obviously disappointing to not come away with 3 points. But like you said, it's a tough place to come and a point, considering where they are just behind us, is better than no points. So, we take it and move on to another big game next weekend.
First half, especially in the first half, era of that first half, we played some lovely football, got into some great positions. Frustration at half time that we weren't 2 or 3 up.
Yeah, definitely. I think, like you said, the first half hour of the game, we were playing some lovely stuff and opening them up really, and disappointed not to be 2 or 3 up at half time. And then second half was more of the same really. We had a little rally for the first 10 minutes of the second half. And then I thought we were on top and looked likely again, and we obviously get the goal, and then things changed for whatever reason. But that's football, and we move on now, and like I said, another big game next weekend.
Well, you're playing that first half, but you know, as you said, second half more chances, Lyle it in the post. Is there a sense on the pitch that this goal's never going to come, or do you not really have time to think like that?
No, I think we don't really think like that. We know we've got good enough players, good enough finishers, good enough creative players to open any team up and create chances. And I think it's a matter of time before the goals start flying in and we start scoring three or four in games. We've just got to stick to what we're doing, keep working hard on the training pitch, practicing, finishing, creating chances, final pass, final cross, and things will change and the goals will start flying in.
Well, the goal did fly in today, and it came from your boot. So now, got to ask. It took a bit of a deflection off Marquee and through the keeper's legs, but I'm assuming you're going
to
claim it.
Yeah, well, I've said to Brett in there on the video, it looks like it's on target. So I'm going to get. I've seen it's gone down as an own goal, but I'm going to, get them to ask the question and appeal it, and it'd be nice if they can give it me.
Do they have a dubious goals committee in League One? I don't know.
I don't know. That's for the people above. Ollie's nodding his head behind. They do. So yeah, we'll have a little question this week. Like I said, it's on target, so fingers crossed.
Maybe if you go up there with Naby Sarr and Patrick Bair behind you, they might buckle.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, put a bit of pressure on here with the big lads, and they might just give it me. Yeah, so no, we'll ask the question and fingers crossed.
But you must have been delighted. I mean, after the huffing and puffing and chances going to begging and hitting the post and to get a goal, even though it did come off by a deflection, must be great to see that in the back of the net.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it was. Yeah. Like you said, we were pushing. It was frustrating at times. Like I said, Lyle hitting the post, a great strike. Another day, it's inside the post and goes in. And then we get the goal, which was obviously a relief. And it's just a shame that we couldn't hang on. But like I said, that's football, and we take the point and move on.
Great end to score as well in front of 1,100 actually, plus Charlton fans. You were able to celebrate in front of them. Must have been giving you some pleasure.
Yeah, it was fantastic. I mean, credit to them again. They've been fantastic all season. Long journey up here in their numbers, got right behind us, and they really drive us on. So we're going to need them for the rest of the season. If they carry on like that, we'll keep giving them everything we can and try and finish the season strongly.
Even though we had the pressure and the chances, and we got noses in front, after they got the equaliser, still had to call Dylan Phillips to make a couple of really crucial saves. One especially, you must have been thankful to see him get down to those two.
Yeah, again, Dill's been fantastic. Since I've been back from injury and been playing with him, and he's got himself back in the team, he's been brilliant for us. Like I said, some crucial saves, which kept us in the game. So, full credit to him. He's a top keeper, and he's done brilliant today.
From a personal point of view, you mentioned your injury, you're now back, completely forgotten about that, I hope, and back in the side and playing well. You must be delighted with that.
Yeah, it's always nice to come back from an injury and get a run of games like I have, and feel like I'm up to speed now. I just want to finish the season strongly and give everything I can for the club and the team. And hopefully that it'll be a successful ending to the season for us.
You're having to play in a couple of different areas. Today on the right, I think it was, having to move about a bit. Is that a problem for you? You don't mind that?
No, not really. I think every player probably needs to be a little bit versatile. So I've obviously played at the bottom of the diamond and, like you said, today on the right of the diamond. But wherever I'm asked to play, I'll give my best and I feel comfortable wherever, to be honest.
Not losing today is key, and then we've got another big one next Saturday at Hunter Portsmouth, and a similar story, I suppose, a game we can't lose.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, we're in the running now. We can't afford to lose any games. Portsmouth are a good side, up the top of the table, but they're coming to our backyard and we'll be right up for it. And looking to put on a good performance in front of our own fans and get the 3 points.
Well, from our own goals panel, we're giving it to you. So congratulations.
So there we go, Josh Cullen, gearing up for Saturday's home game with Portsmouth, and of course looking back at the draw up at Doncaster, claiming the goal. I mean, is that a bit cheeky?
Yeah. You've got to try, and you don't ask, you don't get. But I don't think it didn't stop us celebrating on Saturday. But if it was on target, you might as well give it a go. But for me, it was a blatant own goal.
You don't want to see an own goal from a former Millwall player taken away as well in the form of John Marquee. So Josh Cullen. Obviously, he had so long out injured. It's amazing, really. It's the second he came back into that side, I think he's played. I don't know if he's definitely started every game. He may have even played every minute since then. He obviously did really well to keep himself fit while he was out the side with that shoulder injury.
Yeah, he's done really well, and just seems like a model pro the way he comes across. And obviously, he's come from a big club, and you can see the class on the ball as well. Like he's again one of those players that has the ability to play above this level, I believe. Versatile, as he said just there, can play in a number of positions, moves the ball well, looks very calm on the ball, and like I just said there, a model professional to keep himself fit. I don't know He's very young. I don't know how many injuries he's had, long-term injuries before in his career, but I imagine not many.
No, that was the first one since he turned senior. He had a broken leg in the 23s at West Ham, but that wasn't as long. So he hasn't had to deal with that.
So the first time he's had to deal with that, and like I say, his behaviour and professionalism has been exemplary to come through that and to get himself back in the side. And you just see the class he's got on the ball, and he's a real asset to us this season.
Do you think he's the sort of player that we could try and get? I mean, do you think it's reliant on him, on us getting back into the Championship, if we can try and get him on loan again next season? I think he's got one more year at West Ham on his deal, from the top of my head. So do you think we'd have a chance in League One of getting him again, or do you think he's ready to step up and go into the league above?
Well, I think if you're on West Ham, I mean, he was at Bradford before. He played very well. He was doing very well here. I think next year, him himself and West Ham will probably want to test him a little bit more. Because you can see he could play at a higher level. If we did go up, I think it is a strong possibility, same as Christian. But I see him a lot. I don't think he's Premiership just yet, but I think he's definitely. I think he could do a job in the Championship. It just depends if someone's willing to obviously take a punt on him. But I think he's definitely got the attributes, for sure.
Excellent stuff. Right, let's have another quick break. When we come back, we'll start to look ahead to Portsmouth.
Takes towards the near post, good delivery. Flicks on by Grant.
No goal. Yes! In now. Taylor got the final touch. I think he's going to claim it.
Absolutely.
Bolted his header, deflected back off the post. And Lyle Taylor got a little flick. And Charlton have the lead after 25 minutes.
Right, welcome back to Charlton Live, the big match preview here on Maritime Radio. Looking ahead now to Saturday's home game with Portsmouth. 5:30 kickoff. I'm going to keep reminding you, Pompey sat in fourth. The Addicts sat in fifth. Pompey are 5 points ahead of us. Now, if you think about how far ahead of us they have been in spells this season, you know, we've done some catching up with them. Of course, we got that great win away just before Christmas when we won by 2-1 where Kylan Grant scored. Remember him?
Yeah. Who?
Oh, yeah, no, exactly. I miss him so much. Nicky Ajo, remember him as well, Nicky Ajoze, and that neither of us are still here. So, yeah, completely different team. But you're right, to look ahead to the game, normally we try and grab a journalist, but Luke Ellis, a Portsmouth fan, was available this week, and he told me how the Pompey season has gone so far.
To be honest, like Christmas, New Year period, we were absolutely flying. I think at the time, if I'm brutally honest, I kept thinking, I don't know how we're doing it. I don't know how we keep winning all these games, but we just look like one of those horrible teams to play against, where we look quite big, quite nasty, well organised. Didn't really look like we were going to concede when we were under pressure. And then with Jamal Lowe, Ronan Curtis and Gareth Evans, we had a real outlet where they were all playing really well. We had Ollie Hawkins up front, who it's mixed with the fans in terms of whether they love him or not. But one thing that he did do is he won so many aerial battles. And when we were under pressure, we kind of cleared the ball up to him. And then the three sort of playing in behind that I've just mentioned were, they were kind of gambling and getting on the end of things, and they were playing really well. But in January, beginning of January, he got injured, and we didn't really have another centre forward. And I think that losing that kind of target man sort of seemed to coincide with a real dip in the form of the three guys behind, being Evans, Lowe and Curtis. But also, because we weren't changing the team, it's the same team every week, they looked quite fatigued, and they had done for the last couple of months.
Is that something the fans were unhappy with Kenny Jackett for? Because I thought, I'd surprised to see, actually, considering how well he has done over the last couple of years. I saw some fans on Twitter seemed a bit unhappy with Kenny Jackett at that point as well.
I think they were. I think they just wanted. I think everyone was just sort of, you know, and I was another one where the guys weren't hitting the levels that they could have, that they were getting to, and you could see that they were knackered, and you could see that they needed to be rested. But he just continued to keep playing them. And the other big loss was we lost a guy called Ben Thompson.
Yeah, I was going to ask you. I was going to ask you about him. Unknown from Millwall.
Yeah, I mean, he, without doubt, for my personal opinion from going to the games, he was by far the best central midfielder in the league.
Mm.
And to be honest, I think we could. It didn't matter who we were going to sign. We just weren't going to be able to replace him. So losing Hawkins at the time that we did, and also Ben Thompson, with the loss of form of the three guys that have been playing in the attacking positions, was probably the reason why our form dipped so much. But then on the positives, you could look at it now and say, well, actually, it has changed a bit, because we're in the league, we're actually unbeaten in six. The issue is that we've drawn five of them. But we have strengthened a lot in attacking areas. And to be honest, there's after last week, so the 5-1 winner against Bradford, and getting to, even though fans didn't initially like it, but now everyone seems to want to go, the Chequered Trade final and Wembley, and now players playing for their places, it seems to have kind of got the feel-good factor back, like just after going to Charlton.
Yeah, yeah. So,
which you'll be delighted about.
Like. Yeah, so a renewed confidence ahead of Saturday then. So how do you see the game going on Saturday? Obviously, when we came down to Fratton Park in December, we weren't expecting anything, and we actually played quite well and came away with it.
You did a job on us, to be honest. Yeah. I mean, a lot of fans feel quite aggrieved by the result. They felt that Pompey were the better team, and the goals that Charlton scored maybe shouldn't have counted, but if I'm honest with you, I thought Charlton looked a really good team.
Mm.
I wouldn't say they're the best team that have come to Fratton Park. I would say that Luton were on the first day of the season. And again, as an away game, they're the best team I've seen. But I was really impressed with Charlton, and I thought that they just did a bit of a job on us, to be honest. I mean, I thought Pearce, obviously we know Jason Pearce, I thought he was quality at the back, and he well marshalled it. I don't know, he didn't play at the weekend, so I'm hoping he won't play again.
Yeah, he's good.
Right, so that's a good thing for us. Grant leaving, even though I would say that everything good that you did kind of went through Lyle Taylor.
Yeah.
And I think he was really good, but Grant was so dangerous all game. It was just his pace and his movement. So he may not have always been heavily involved in all the link-up play and stuff like that, but every time sort of Charlton looked like they were going to counter or, you know, have someone getting on the end of it, it always looked like it was going to be him. So I don't really know if you've... I know your owners are a bit of a nightmare, but I feel like Charlton, if I'm honest, after the game at Fratton Park, I thought that they might have gone on to challenge for automatic.
Mm.
But I do feel that your chairman has probably prevented you the chance of doing that.
Yeah, that's a feeling that's shared, I think, amongst many Charlton fans. So just looking ahead from a Portsmouth point of view, who are the danger men that Charlton should be looking out for on Saturday?
Depends on who plays. I don't know if he'll go with Ollie Hawkins or if he's back Omar Bogle.
Yeah.
Bogle is an absolute handful up front for me. He's a unit. Sort of like Akin Fenwell with pace. and he's becoming a bit of a fan favourite. But the guys that have found form again will be Lowe and Curtis on the wings. They're the two danger men. And at the moment, out of nowhere, got a guy in central midfield called Ben Close, He's got four in his last six from kind of playing a bit of a holding midfield role. So you may not look at him as an attacking presence, but he's got this real knack at the moment of being able to sort of pop up with quite important goals. But yeah, I think if I was going to say any two players, Lowe and Curtis on their day are they're better than League One. They're pretty unplayable. I'm expecting us to nick it.
Yeah,
and I think it'd be the opposite of the result of Fratton Park. I think Pompey will win 2-1.
There we go. I told Luke after the interview that I'm going to cut out that bit and play it again on Saturday show if we win, because we don't always get a prediction from the opposition fans. But yeah, brilliant from Luke there. Thanks for that, for letting us know a little bit more about Pompey. He's saying, like, Ben Thompson obviously got sent off late on in our win down there before Christmas. But I mean, he's been a big miss for them, and they have suffered a little bit of a drop off in form, although exploded back to life with a 5-1 win against admittedly a poor Bradford side. So we don't really know what to expect now. So are they back in form or aren't they, because it's only one game?
Yeah, it'll be tricky. Like you say, Ben Thompson was a big miss. I'm surprised that he went at the get-go, but obviously Jacket and Harris getting well. But I think they're coming back into form, and it's against the team like Portsmouth, who rely heavily, like he was saying, in terms of Lowe and Curtis on the wings, and we play fairly narrow. They might have a lot of the ball, so it's going to be interesting how we try and push them back a little bit. But listen, I mean, they're a good side and they're coming to form, but you know, we're a good side and we're coming back into form, so it's going to be an interesting game. Looking forward to it.
Yeah, should be a good one. Portsmouth 5 points ahead of us in the league table, as I said. All right, let's have a look forward to it from a more Charlton point of view now. Lee Bay was speaking with Tony Hudd. Now, I wanted to play you this, actually. I just remembered. So, normally we get sent the press day audio, and it's normally just the start of the interview. But for some reason, I got sent a little bit more today. And I got a fascinating insight into a little look behind the curtain into what Tony Hudd and Lee Bay discuss when the camera isn't rolling.
Always happens on a Thursday.
Normally, Monday and Tuesdays are worst.
Yeah,
only Tuesdays
are
a nightmare, that road.
So there we go. They're just chatting about the A20 by the sounds of it. That's what they get up to when we're not listening. Right, let's have a look forward to the actual game here. Lee Bowyer, looking forward to Portsmouth.
I don't think it's any bigger, if I'm honest. I think now we're getting to that stage where every game is massive. Everybody's playing for something. And us and Portsmouth, we're playing for the same prize and that's promotion. So, similar to last week, Doncaster are obviously in the same sort of situation as we are. So, it's a massive game. It's going to be a great atmosphere and it's going to be on the telly. And so, yeah, I think it's going to be a good day.
You mentioned atmosphere. The Valley's going to be rocking, isn't it? And it's the sort of atmosphere that players and managers, dare I say, just love.
Yeah, that's why I think you play the game, you know. Whether you like it or not, players, they're entertainers. That's what they are. It's like a theatre to them, isn't it? So, the place is going to be rocking. I'm looking forward to it. And the players, you can tell, it's been a good atmosphere all week. And yeah, they're really looking forward to it. They all want to be involved. Some will miss out. That's the reality of football. But yeah, I'm really looking forward to it as well.
What are you expecting from the game itself? Do you think there'll be an awful lot of tension out there on the pitch?
No. I think there'll be a lot of honesty. I think there'll be two sets of players putting their body on the line to win the game, just like any other game. And it's going to be competitive. Hopefully we have a referee that can control the situation, because the atmosphere, like you said, is going to be bouncing and there's a lot at stake. So there's going to be tackles, there's going to be decisions to be made, and for sure we're going to need a strong ref, just like we did up there. We had a strong ref up there and we managed to come away with the right result.
Do you have a figure in your own mind regarding the number of points Charlton need to qualify for the playoffs?
No, No, I don't think you can put a figure on because you just don't. Nothing's predictable. We've just got to concentrate on each game. That's the reality. We play Portsmouth Saturday and our aim is to win. Then we play Burton on Tuesday. Our aim is to win. We just have to win games. We just have to concentrate on what we're doing and what we're good at. And if we do that, then I'm sure we'll be fine.
Do you think the promotion issue will go down to the wire with plenty more twists and turns?
Yeah, I think it happened last year, didn't it? No one expected us to get into the playoffs last season and we came with a late run. And could that happen again? Yeah, I can't see into the future, but somebody could surprise people, and that's why we have to just concentrate on what we're doing and not worry about what's going on behind us. So, but like I said, we've got a good bunch of lads and we're very professional, and we have the fans behind us. So it's, for me, we're in a good place.
Among Charlton's best wins of the season was that 2-1 success at Portsmouth in December. Does that give you a psychological advantage on Saturday?
No. It's a different game. Different game, different place. It's different players playing. It's completely different. But the same outcome, playing for 3 points. And like I said, you know, two teams trying their hardest to get them 3 points. So it's going to be difficult. They're a good side. But so are we. So I'm sure that they might be worried a little bit, and we worry about certain things. That then they have strengths, we have strengths, they have weaknesses, we have weaknesses. It's, for me, it's going to be a very good day.
There's been speculation this week that your skipper Jason Pearce could be out for the rest of the season. Can you confirm that?
Well, I don't know. he won't be involved Saturday. It's been touch and go with him this week. He obviously had another injection in his ankle. So, yeah, it's not going to be the rest of the season, I don't think. No, I don't know where that's come from.
Any idea when he could be available to you?
No, it just depends on healing, really. His ankle isn't right. Piercy being Piercy, he's tried to play through pain. And I've said to him, look, just get your ankle right. Like, he's running with a limp. It's silly, really. He just wants to be there for us, you know, because he knows how important it is and how important he is to us. So, but he has to get himself right, because there might be a time when we do need him and he has to be right, you know. So, yeah. I don't know how long it'll take, but I don't think it'll be the season, though.
Any other injury concerns ahead of Saturday?
No. Everybody's okay. Josh Parker obviously played in the 23 game. Come through that okay. Got a lot of that cold out of him. He's looked a bit sharper this week. So, he's the one that will come back into the frame.
So there we go, Lebo. You're looking ahead to Saturday's home game with Pompey. You got bored of discussing the A20, so you started talking about the football. Parker coming back. I was just trying to think about what's going to be the major team news. Obviously, Piercy not around, but yeah, that's no major issue at the moment with Naby playing so well alongside Patrick Bauer. So you're looking at the striking position. Obviously, we've got a point last week. Igor actually played quite well, I felt. But, I mean, will Parker be chosen ahead of him because he did score twice with the 23s a week before?
I don't think so. I don't think there'll be any changes. If there is, I wonder whether we might rest Williams and bring Ben Reeves in just for his creativity, and also because when Williams has come off the bench, particularly late in games, he really looks to stretch the opposition. So maybe there. But no, I agree with you. I thought Igor had a good game last week, and we need a bit of consistency up top now because there's been so much chopping and changing with injuries and illnesses and obviously the sale of Carlin and stuff, so and Lyle's suspension. So I think if we can just keep two of them up there for a little while. Again, Parker, when he's come off the bench, has looked good. So keep him back and throw him on in the last 10 if we need him, because I do think he can offer us something. But I just think I'd like to see Igor continue to play his way into form.
Mm. I mean, how big a game is this, Nath? We're looking at that 5-point gap we've got above Peterborough and Doncaster. It'll be interesting, of course, because we're playing later than everyone else in the league. So we'll have a good idea of you know where we're sitting at that point as well. So, I mean, if we lose, is it the end of the world?
No, not at all. If we lose on Saturday, which is, you know, is possible because they're a good side. But if we lost on Saturday, yeah, it's not the end of the world. Yeah, we would have left a bit of a gap, but then we've got a game at home on Tuesday to bounce straight back from. So that, I think that's a good thing, because if we win, you know, we obviously could build momentum. But yeah, I wouldn't say it's going to be the end of the world just if we lose on Saturday. I don't think we will, personally. But yes, there's still so many games. I know it's a cliche, but there's so much more football to play. It's not decided on one game.
Yeah, Doncaster will be away to Wimbledon. Peterborough will be away to Bradford. So the two rivals are both away to sides that have struggled in League One so far this season, which will make it interesting as well. I mean, how do you see it going, Tom? Let's have some sort of prediction.
I think we might win this.
Yeah,
I'm gonna go 2-0 clean sheet.
Yeah, lovely old job.
I'm going 3-2 Charlton.
3-2.
Yeah, I can see goals.
Lovely. Who do you fancy scoring the goals for us?
Igor, Nabs, and Lyle.
Lovely. Excellent stuff. Right, we are just about coming to the end of the show on this evening's Charlton Live. So don't forget, it's the Sky game. Sky curse, anyone worried about that?
The what?
The Sky curse.
Oh, yeah, no. It does my head in Sky.
Yeah.
But
never mind. Yeah, I can't. It's a game of football, yeah. But yeah, hopefully we win. Yeah,
so don't forget, 5:30 kickoff because we are on Sky. As I said, it's messing up with my sort of routine so much. I think I might just go to the calf now and just sit there until the game. Just to make sure I don't forget to come to the game. But yeah, don't get here too early. But anyway, thanks for listening to this evening's Charlton Live, the big match preview. Don't forget to come back here on Sunday evening when we look back at whatever happens against Pompey. Massive game. Let's hope it's 3 points for the Addicts. Tom, thanks for coming in.
Cheers, Louis.
Nathan, good to have you here.
Much love.
And I've been Louis Meadows. Thanks for listening all the way to the end of this evening's Charlton Live. And we shall see you back here on Sunday evening. Have a good one.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.